Well, it's a big topic, and I am not an expert. In fact, I've read that an expert is really just a drip under pressure. And that's me. But I'm putting the drip and the pressure in God's hands. So, yes, it is a large topic, isn't it? The Bible, children, our children or the children around us, and ourselves. And this morning I want us, as we look at this, just to look at God's dealings with us as his children, and we are his children if we belong to him, and at the same time look at our dealings with our children, whether they're our very own or the little children that God has put in our care, scripture classes or whatever. I'm sure that we feel far from perfect as a Christian woman and far from perfect as a wife and a mother. Well, that's perfect. That's great. That's just the way we should feel. Because when we feel far from perfect, then we're resting on the Lord Jesus and his strength, God's strength. And we replace any self-confidence with God-confidence. What a comfort to know that God understands us through and through. He's a friend, as Helen said, that loves us no matter what, no matter what we are, and no matter what. And he knows our weaknesses, our heart weaknesses, and our home weaknesses. I'm sure we've got both, haven't we? You know, a popular book and a TV program over recent years has been Roots. And those roots, that word just kept on going round and round my mind, and it gave me what I thought might be a basis, and it also gave me a precious thought. And we're going to let us consider our roots. Our roots when we're a Christian woman. Where are our roots? They're grounded in love. Just as Rita was singing, they're grounded in love. And then we go on from there and God trains us. I hope that our children's roots are grounded in love. We're going to look at that. And then we go on and we train them. What's God training us for? Fruits. And what are we training our children for? Just the same thing, fruits. God hopes for us in our lives for fruits. And that's what we're praying for in our children's lives, aren't we? Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 7 to 8 have a very precious verse. Jeremiah 17, this is what it says. Blessed is the woman that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For she shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall she cease from yielding fruit. So we're going to talk first about roots. And lastly about fruits. In the middle there's the training time. Our roots as a Christian woman, our roots are secure, firmly secure in God's love. Jeremiah tells us that a woman who trusts in the Lord has her roots grounded. No matter what comes, she'll stand. Not in her own strength, no, in his strength. You know, there's a beautiful prayer in Ephesians. This is what Paul prays, Ephesians chapter 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's the beginning, when the little seed germinates. When we receive his word and we believe it and trust. And that being rooted and grounded in love, secure in his love, that we may go on and grow on to grasp just how big Christ's love is. And then as we grow more and more to know more of his love, that we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. What a beautiful fruit, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, how vital it is, though, to be rooted in God. Through a personal faith in the Lord Jesus, to realise that he paid the punishment for us, and to hang on to that by faith, to believe in him, to accept him as our personal saviour, and to be rooted. And you know, Proverbs tells us that such a woman will never be uprooted. Never. The world can't give anybody that. Oh, we do pray that if there's anyone here today who's not rooted in this love, that they'll just realise how insecure they are. You know, in the story of the sower, and I'm sure you know it so well, the plant that withered was the one that had no roots. And this is a sad picture. We see it all around us. People with no roots, nothing to hang on to, no security. And when the heat comes and the drought comes, and it does come, life wasn't meant to be easy. We've heard that before. And the drought does come. And these people will wither and perish because they're not rooted in God's love. Love gives itself. There's no other way around it. And God's love gave himself, his son. You know, and with that he gave us all the wonderful riches, forgiveness, acceptance, security, peace, fearlessness. We're his child. He loves us. Gives us confidence and gives us strength. Well, let's think of our roots that we can give our children. And once again, it's all in love. That is the basic root for us to give our children. Whether they're our own again, don't let us leave any lady out here at all. Whether they're our children or not, the basic roots we can give them is our love. You know what? Psalm 127 and verses 3 to 5 tells us that sons and daughters, I've got four sons, but it means daughters too, sons and daughters are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him, not an accident, not a burden. No, they're a reward. We mightn't always feel it, but they are. You believe it. Take God's word for it, not mine. They are a reward from him. A very, very precious and wonderful gift. Full of promise. I read just recently, each new child is a new thought from God. A very, very fresh and radiant possibility. Isn't that beautiful? And let us look at the best possible roots we can give our children. Just the roots that God's given us. His children. His love. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'd have to mention that when we talked about love now, wouldn't we? Love never fails. Remember that. Love never fails. Everything else may fail with your child. Quite possibly it will. But love never fails. With any relationship, with your husband, your neighbour, your friend, your co-worker, that can be difficult. With anyone, love never fails. You may have tried everything. Have you tried love? Now, Billy Graham mentioned in Sydney, and I'm ever so glad he did. I thought they must have been a perfect family with perfect children, but he said that their sons had drifted away in their teenage years. But those sons knew that home was theirs, that love was theirs, no matter what. And that's how it should be. I must give you a warning here. I really must. And it's from the Word of God too, in Timothy. Don't let the love of material things and love of money become more important to you than the love you're going to give your child. The mad rush for security and material things are depriving children today of their roots. They really are. And the love of money is the root of all evil, we're told in Timothy. And this mad world we're in is depriving our children of their roots, our love. A mother who is there when she is needed. That means after school. There's no way about it. I've had a boy come home from school with a black eye. Oh, I was so glad I was there. I don't know where he would have gone. And I'm glad I sent him back to school to fix it all up too. Yes, they need it. They need our love. They need that root. Just like we need to be rooted in God's love. Proverbs 15:17 tells us it is better to be poor and have a little showered with love. Have you noticed that the Bible gives us the roots, the background of most of the Bible heroes, personalities? I hadn't really noticed it until I noticed it just recently. That's great. That shows us how important the prayers, the home life, the love, everything that went behind in that child's build-up. Love never fails to give itself. We saw this when God gave his son. And our love in our homes and with people around us must give itself. Must give self. There. Give time. Your time. Time to listen. Time to show you care. This time today is ours. It's a precious day. It's precious time. Tomorrow it's gone. Love never fails to communicate. When we lost our only daughter, one of the wonderful comforts I had was that in those 8 years, the time we had had together, the things we had done together, no one could take that away. I've still got it. Give your children your time. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Today, give them your love. Communicate with them. Let us build communications up with those around us. In our relationship with God, communication is essential, isn't it? A two-way communication. Listening to him from his word and praying to him in our words. No generation gap there, no heaven and earth gap there, no gap there. Because love communicates. And love never fails to bring confidence. Safe in God's love, aren't we confident? And safe in our love, our children will be confident. And it'll show in their relationships with others. I'm sure you've read that poem. If a child lives with criticism, well, I'm sure you've heard that poem. And it means just that. A child lives with this love, they'll feel confident and it will show in their relationships with others. If a parent lives a consistent Christian life, there will be no hindrance to that child developing a confidence in God. Really feel that. If they can be confident of you and your faith in God. Children who know they have their parents' love, sympathy, interest, prayers, all the time and in all circumstances, will have a real confidence in them. And they'll want to tell them everything. Have you ever felt they're holding back? They need to have confidence. And our confidence in God is built on these very things, isn't it? His love, his sympathy, his interest in you and you and you, and his prayers for each of us. Love never fails to keep its promises. Always keep your promise. Don't make it lightly. Our confidence in God is built on his promises and how we've proved them true. Love never fails to forgive. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. God's love brought us forgiveness complete and utterly and forever. And our love for our children will be ready to forgive them always, no matter how big the hurt. Forgiveness is necessary in any close relationship you're in right now, whether you're older or younger. And love never fails to accept. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. The ideal environment for any learning is acceptance. To feel completely free. Just to be yourself, as ugly as that might be. Acceptance. And we should give our children this luxury. Allow them to feel a little independence that's reasonable. Allow them the opportunity to make a mistake knowing that they're still accepted. Don't make them feel pot-bound in your little idea of perfection that you want to put them in. Accept your child as he is. God accepted us just as we are, with all our failings. And love never fails to be patient. I haven't written a lot on this, and I'm feeling it's because I don't know much about it. Isn't that where we fall down? Oh, that we might pray that our love and God's love in us will help us to be patient. I have read that patience is love expressed in vexing situations. You've got the best opportunity to show your love in those very hard instances when it's so easy to just fly. Love never fails to be gentle. A smile, a kind word. There's a much better way, perhaps, in giving an order than just making it sound like an order to your child. A tone and a kind voice, a smile can make all the difference. And don't forget to ask God to place a guard on your lips. I do, and then I'm sorry. Love never fails to be gentle. With love in our home, there'll be compassion, humility, all those beautiful things, gentleness, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, perfect unity and peace, and loyalty. What better roots? Love, that's our roots. We're rooted in God's love. Let's give these roots too to our children. And love never fails, and love is eternal. Before we move on though, your child will feel secure in your love, but that's not enough. They need more than that to have unshakable roots. The goal in mind of a Christian parent should be to lead her child to a personal commitment in the Lord Jesus, so that they too will be rooted and grounded in God's love. Your influence in these years are vital. Fill your home with love. You're not a housewife, you're a homemaker. Make your home a safe place, a place where the children can be themselves because there's love. A place that's a haven, free from attack. Where they can be themselves, knowing that they're rooted in your love. Let's move on to the training ground. So we're rooted in God's love, and then he wants to train us. And we want to root our children in our love, and then there's the training. Between the roots and the fruits, and I couldn't get a rhyming word, I wanted it so badly, there's training. But this very important time of nourishment, of growth, of direction. In God's training of us as a Christian woman today, and it is a day-by-day experience, he is showering us with his love. He wants to direct us. And this will be the same with our children. It's a day-by-day experience, a day-by-day training. It frightened me to read somewhere, you will be what you are becoming today. Wow. That all adds up, doesn't it? God is training us in the way we should grow, and we are training our children in the way that we want them to grow. And neither task is easy. And if in our own growing and our children's growing we lack wisdom, what do? We ask God for wisdom. We ask God for power, and he gives it. In 2 Peter in chapter 1 we're told that we have everything we need to live a life of godliness, to live with power in our life today. How do we have everything we need? In God's power and in our knowledge of him. You know, to train means to bring up, to teach, to direct in a particular position. And I meant to look at Mari's camellias when we were coming away yesterday, and I didn't. My husband had told me that she's got them trained in a very special way on the fence. And they are perfect. She has guided them to just the spot she wants them. That's training. A tree is trained where it should go, onwards and upwards, reaching for the heights. You know, I was a cripple a week ago. It was a very weak week. I'd run in 2 races at the Sunday school picnic. And although I gritted my teeth and I wanted my family to be proud of me, nothing helped. My legs are just not trained for races. And I ached for a week, honestly. You know, in God's training of us, He wants to give us strength, full maturity. He wants to train us in the way that we should go, more and more like Christ. His image engraved on us, we sang in that hymn. In our training of our children, we want to bring them to full maturity, mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually, most of all, more like Christ. Training comprises of 3 parts. And the first is training by example, then training by instruction, and then training by love and discipline. This applies with God's training of us, and it will apply in our training of our children. God's example to us, Christ. What a wonderful example. As you learn more of Him in the Gospels, doesn't it make you long to be more like Him? And so our prayer becomes that we will become more like Him. Paul said he followed Christ's example. What a statement. What an achievement. Impossible? Alone, yes. But not in his strength. Not with him in our lives. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul exhorts us to have the mind of Christ, his attitude in everything that we do. Let us follow him, his example. Let us follow him in his love. He loved the unlovely. The people it's hard to love. There are a lot around. We might even be one of them. Wouldn't be surprised. And he loved his enemies. Let us follow his example in his obedience to God's will, even to death, even to here, even to what God's got for you in your situation right now. Obedience, following his will. Let us follow him in his humility, even to being a servant. Let us follow him in his prayer life, nights in prayer, so earnest that there were even sweat drops of blood. Let us follow his example in his love for God's word. He kept it in his heart and he used it to defeat Satan. Let us follow his example in our forgiveness, in his forgiveness. Why, he could even forgive those that crucified him. Now let's think of our example to our children. My father used to say, I wasn't going to quote any personal people, but here I am. My father used to say, do what I say, not what I do. And I'll always remember that. Actually, I don't think he did anything that I didn't want to do. But parents teach more by example than by precept. That's why we've got it coming first. Because children tend to imitate what they see rather than what they hear. And I've heard some choice words in our home that I know didn't come from there. They're imitators, every one of them. Boy. And I know you've heard this little poem, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'm sure we can all say amen to that, can't we? You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 to be an example in speech. Uh-oh, here comes trouble again. Don't gossip, don't criticise. Yes, we have to be an example in our speech. Just because you feel free and easy at home, remember, I've also heard little pigs have big ears. Be an example in speech. Paul told Timothy to be an example in life. Be consistent. Do all for God's glory. Be an example in love. Show care. Be an example in faith. Hold fast. Be an example in purity. Keep away from anything that's even slightly wrong. It's easy to do that at home too, isn't it? Paul had a wonderful example, Christ. I meant to say Timothy. Timothy had a wonderful example in Paul, didn't he? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. In Paul, he had an example in his way of life, in his purpose, in his faith, in his patience, in his love and endurance, and in persecution and suffering. Timothy saw that the Lord rescued Paul. Paul must have been sure to give the Lord the glory. Yes, Paul gave God the glory, and he gave Timothy hope. Hope in God. May we be able to say with Paul, and this is what he said in 1 Corinthians, follow my example because I have followed Christ. We must mention Timothy's other examples. We couldn't get away from it, could we? In 2 Timothy 3:15, there was his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And they were an example because of their sincere faith. Nothing put on. You can't put on much at home at any rate. They see you for what you are. The Bible cautions us in Galatians 6 and 7, whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. And this happens in the home. To a great degree, you will reproduce your own life in your children. And if a child is given a good instruction and set a bad example, what a mess. Have you ever said to your child, I can't understand it, how you could act like that? What a shock if they said, well, that's because you're my mother. Probably it'd be the truth, wouldn't it? Wow. This bothers us, doesn't it? They remind us so much of ourselves. Oh. Proverbs 22 and 6 tells us that if we train our child now in the way of the Lord, when he is independent away from our care, he will not depart from it. From the way of the Lord. I'm sure that's been a comforting promise to many, many a mother. You know, the verb train in this verse, train a child in the way that he should go, means to create a desire. Parents should live such a life that they make their children want to live a godly life. Train them, create that desire. Parents can't force their children, but we could stimulate them, couldn't we? We must be an example, too, in obedience. Our obedience to God. We love the Lord, so we want to obey him, right? How wonderful it would be if we could instill this in our children. They love us, they will want to obey us. You know, disobedience to parents is a major step to disobedience to God. By the way, are you showing your love to God by your obedience in everything? Your obedience to his word. By our example, we can give them a training in responsibility. God has chosen us, weak as we are, to help him in his work, to have a responsibility. Give them little things to do. Train them in responsibility. You're helping them to grow. God, when he gives us a job to do, it's wonderful. Why, he even gives us the power to do it, we're told in Thessalonians. That's wonderful. By example, we can give them training in humility, I hope. I read, the woman who has a high opinion of herself may depend upon it she's a poor judge of character. Yes, humility is the mark of a mature Christian. And as our child sees us humbly thank God for everything, and as our child sees us humbly rest in his strength, well, I think they will learn humility. And wonderfully, I think they will learn to thank the Lord for any achievement in their lives and to trust in Him for strength in their lives. By our example, we can give them training in prayer. Philippians tells us to be prayerful in everything, anxious in nothing, and thankful for anything, whatever it is. Prayer is the highest privilege that God has given us, and we can have no better security than when we leave our plans and our choices in His hands. When we leave everything in His hands, we find that His hand is in everything. I'm sure you've heard that. We teach our children to pray how? By praying in their presence, by praying for them, by helping them to utter those simple words of prayer. My little boy Andrew, he's the third, yes, and the other night in his prayers he had a few PS's that he'd forgotten. I'd already moved around the room to the other boys and he said, uh-oh, and I said, okay, so I went over again and his last one nearly broke my heart. He said, Dear Lord, thank you for Mum and Dad. You know, oh, that was precious to hear. God loves to hear their prayers. You listen to them pray. And God loves to hear us pray. A person's habits are formed before he reaches the age of 20. Boy, I trust you are in the prayer habit. And I trust you are passing it on to your children. By our example, we can give them training in love for the Bible. A child with a knowledge, a personal knowledge of the Lord, and a knowledge of the Bible, has the best equipment for a successful life. By our example, we can train them in contentment. Can we? Ever complain a bit? Just a little bit? I'll have to mention the drip again because Proverbs tells us that a complaining woman is like a tap going drip, drip, drip. Oh boy. A nagging woman. Well, we can be an example to our children by contentment. Content with whatever things we have. Why? Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We've got so much. Yes. Be an example in contentment in this day when everybody's got to have everything and they end up with nothing. Train by instruction. God's training us right now by instruction through His Word. God's instruction to us is vital as we grow as a Christian woman. Now, Mr. Moody said the Scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge but to change our lives, as Lorna said last night. To change our lives. As we grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures, we will be built up. We will be trained. We will be changed. We will grow more like the Lord Jesus. In Timothy again, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Scripture, and Timothy gives us our goal in studying the Scriptures. Here it is. By studying the Scriptures, we will win God's approval. By studying the Scriptures, we will be a worker who needs not to be ashamed. By studying the Scriptures, we will be able to correctly teach the Word of God. And you know, Psalm chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3 gives us that precious promise that as we study and obey, we will be blessed. We will bear fruit at the right time. We will not wither and dry up. We will succeed in everything we do for the Lord. Put God's Word centre in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3 again shows us the value of God's Word in our life for teaching us, for rebuking us, for correcting us, for training us in righteousness, so that we may be a woman thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now we come to training our children by instruction. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 to 9 gives us two basic principles. First responsibility is to allow God to apply His Word to our own hearts. His Word central in our lives. And the second responsibility is to make God's truth central in our homes. Now, as you read this, you see in this passage that firstly we are to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. We are to keep his word in our heart, and we are to impress these words on our children. Teach them when we sit at home, when we walk. Think of the flowers. There's so much around us where we can apply God's word, God's truth, if we just take the time. Teach our children when we sit at home, when we walk along the road, as we lie down, before we lie down, that quiet time with them, as we get up, devotions, strength to face a new day. There are really choice opportunities, aren't there, to apply God's word in a practical way and to show our children that we are doing it. Relate the Bible to daily events. In Timothy, you know, again, we find from 2 Timothy chapter 3 again that he, from infancy, was taught the Holy Scriptures, and they showed him the way to salvation, the way to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Family worship offers an ideal situation, doesn't it? But remember this, the shorter the children, the shorter the devotions. Don't put them to sleep. The shorter the children, the shorter the devotions. It's hard in our family. We've got 16-year-old, this short, and we've got a 4-year-old, that tall. Yes, but you can do it. Training a child according to the scriptures is vitally important, but accompany it by earnest prayer and by a firm trust in the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. Now, train by love and discipline. It's got to be there. In this free society where everybody does their own thing, train by love and discipline. That's how God's training us. God is training us with discipline, and it's with love. As we enter this area of training, don't make the mistake I made. I thought that discipline and chastening just meant punishment. Doesn't at all. In fact, during a very hard trial, my heart just broke wide open once again when a friend sent a poem about chastening, and I thought it was a rebuke. I thought you were saying, this happened because you sure needed a punishment. And it broke me in half. No, that wasn't his discipline in that time. He was bringing pressure to bear on us to train us, to build us. He was refining us. He was purifying us. He was bringing us under his control. That's where we wanted to be, but we didn't know it was going to be so hard. We didn't know it was going to mean what it did. Yes, there is punitive discipline. There are the times when punishment is needed, but there's the other side of discipline. It's a corrective discipline. It's an encouraging discipline. It's a preventive discipline. Trials and pressures. Why do they come in their discipline from God? Because he loves us. Why do they come? Because it proves how much he loves us. It proves that we are accepted as his children. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. I'm sure you've had different aching parts of your body as a child to prove that. No discipline at the time seems pleasant, we're told. But later on it produces a harvest of righteousness. The righteousness we seek so often can only come through pain. That's the way it works. First the cross and then the crown. Our Lord himself learnt obedience. How? Through suffering, through pain, through pressures, and his didn't come in punishment. those pressures were there to bring him obedience. Verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 11. Verse 11 tells us that the chastening or discipline not only produces a harvest of righteousness, but peace. Why? Because at times like this we draw closer to God than we've ever drawn before, and as we do, there's peace. And another reason, the gardener is always closest when he is pruning. It's true. Well, now we go on to the next part about our training of our children by discipline in love. Discipline is instruction, and you know what it seeks to do? When you discipline your child, you are seeking to show them that to do good is pleasant and to do wrong is very unpleasant. That's what you're hoping to teach them, and there's the two parts. Don't forget that. When a child does something wrong, you punish them. Right. But that's only half the method. You need to show them that doing right is pleasant. Not with bribes, but with thank yous and praise. Show your appreciation. And I'm sure if you show your appreciation more and more in a day of what they've done right, and they have, even though sometimes it doesn't seem it, show your appreciation for what they've done right, I think there will be less times when you'll have to use the other method. I really do. Without punishment, you cannot hope. Without discipline, you cannot hope to teach your child to be responsible, competent, and respectful. There's no greater proof of your love than a correctly applied discipline. And you know, it reveals that you are willing to be personally rejected for a few minutes, and that's all it is. We hang off, don't we? We think, oh, they'll think I'm awful. But when you discipline them in love, it's showing them your love is so great. You are willing to be personally rejected for a few minutes for the welfare of the child. You know, in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli is held accountable for the wrongdoing of his sons. And it's because he knew about their sin and he restrained from doing anything. Sad, isn't it? The secret of a disciplined child is a disciplined parent. Uh-oh. Here we go again. That hurts. But it's true. A woman who does not have control of herself will never be able to control her children. Where do we get this self-control? Where we get everything else from the Spirit of God. Yes. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, self-control is there. And it's ours if we claim it as our own. Real freedom, I read, is won through self-government, not through self-expression. That's what teachers and people are, not all teachers, but it's dangerous the way the world's thinking today, isn't it? They think that freedom is in self-expression. It's not. Real freedom is in self-government. Ephesians 6 and 4 tells fathers, but I think we can put ourselves in there, not to provoke their children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And these two words, and I didn't realise it before, and I'm glad I studied it and found out, brings out the two parts of discipline. Nurture means corrective discipline, and admonition of the Lord means the encouragement to do right. So there we have the two forms of discipline once again. And a major problem is with parents is that we only take the one form of discipline, the corrective. Don't forget the other, because I really feel it's more important. Not more important, no, but it might overshadow the other need for corrective discipline. Don'ts. I've got some don'ts. Don't compare children with children. God doesn't with us. Isn't it beautiful? Don't ridicule or make fun of weaknesses. God strengthens our weaknesses. Don't be afraid to say no. God isn't. He answers all our prayers, and some of them are no, and they are the best. The answer he gives are the best. Okay, some do's. Trust them. Expect them to be obedient. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Trust them. Communicate trust. Help children to plan a better course of action. Be positive. Be positive in your own thinking and pass it on. And admit mistakes. Remember the wonderful opening we have before God, haven't we? Give that opening to our children too. Make sure they always know they are welcome. You are always there to forgive them, love them. It has been said too that parents often major on minors. Don't major on the trivial. That's a real trap. I know, I've been in it. Probably still am. Don't major in your discipline on the minors. Here are some verses about discipline and from Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your child while they are young enough to learn. If you don't, you are helping them destroy themselves. Proverbs is a good book to read. The Bible is a good book to read. If you make a mistake in disciplining him, either in anger, tiredness, or wrong judgment, confess your fault to your child. He'll learn to do this too, and he'll learn to do it to God. Fruits. We're near the end. Fruits at last. So we have, for the Christian woman, we have her rooted, secure in God's love. We have her trained by him. And now we see her fruitful. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, into our hearts, to give us the power to be what God wants us to be. Through this life-giving stream in us, we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. We can be fruitful. We can have that fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, self-control. God wants you. God wants me to be brought to full maturity. How? What's full maturity? Like the Lord Jesus, transformed, as Lorna said. And God began this work in us when we were rooted. And he's continuing it, and he will complete it. One day, we will be perfect. Not here, but later. When the pressure's on, nothing will be able to uproot us. Our goal for our children, whether they're in our Sunday school class, our scripture class, or they're our own very children, is that we'll guide them so that they will mature. Increase in stature, physically. Increase in favour with God, spiritually. And increase in favour with man, socially. We want them to be like the Lord Jesus. We want them to come to full maturity. Luke 2:12 tells us that the Lord increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favour with God and man, physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. John could say that his prayer was in 3 John 4, no greater joy can I have than this, to hear that my children follow the truth. As a Christian mother and as a Christian worker, we want them to be rooted firmly in God's love, to belong to him for eternity. We want to see them reaching upwards and onwards. We want to see them giving strength and shelter to people around, caring for others. We want to see them stand tall and fruitful with the fruit of the Spirit. We want to see them grow, our children grow, because of their continual feeding on his word, because of their personal trust in him. And the mother is a key person in this. She's giving her greatest contribution to mankind, and she's doing her greatest work for the Lord. Don't neglect it. The early years with your child pass quickly, very quickly. too quickly. And I can't overemphasise the importance of your closeness to God. The closer each member of your family is to God, the closer they will be to one another. Well, we've looked at it. The roots. Us rooted in God's love and then trained by Him and then fruitful. And we've looked at the roots we want to give our children, rooted in love, our love. And then the training we want to give them and the fruits that are possible. Will it work? Let me ask you, has God's love and His training in your life worked? The choice is up to you, and the choice is up to our children. Don't persecute yourself if there's a child that doesn't look as though he's in the way you wanted him to go. Give him the roots, your love. Give him the training. And then I'm afraid the choice is up to him. But cover him daily, moment by moment, with your prayers. And remember, love never fails.